Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Toldot. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses Toldot. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. In this week's Parsha, Toldot, we'll look at a teaching from Rabbi Kolonimus Kolmer Shapira, the Pizetzner Rebbe, on our Parsha from his work, Derech HaMelech, a series of drashot written in the 1920s, for the most part, in Warsaw. In this drasha, which is an extremely long drasha, we're going to take just the opening and closing and a few sections in the middle to discuss some central themes for the Pizetzner's teachings and, I think, some central themes in our spiritual life. He begins with the opening verse of our Parsha, Ve'ele todot Yitzchak ben Abraham, Avraham holidet Yitzchak. These are the generations of Isaac. This is the story of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham begot, Abraham gave birth to Isaac. That verse in the Torah itself is followed then by the story, basically, of Isaac and Rebekah giving birth to Jacob and Esau, and everything that follows. Pizetzner then asks the question, V'navin na lama miva'era pasuk? But it says, why are we now asking and explicating this question of the fact that Abraham gave birth to Isaac when, you know, we talked about that last Parsha. In fact, we had all Parsha about it, about giving birth, the story of Abraham and Isaac, their lives together. You don't have to tell us again that Abraham gave birth to Isaac, that Abraham was the father of Isaac. The Rashi Peresha Pia Pashut, and as Rashi said, according to the Pshat, it should be that you should have said this before when Isaac was born. That's where this verse is appropriate. So we've got this open question. Why is he talking about Abraham giving birth to Isaac here when we're actually talking about Isaac's kind of giving birth? Why is he talking about Abraham being the father when we're really talking about Isaac being the father in this parsha? So, as this class is the case in Chassidic Drashot, we're going to basically ignore that question now. Go in a completely different direction, and then in the end come back and we'll see what that connection is. So then, at a different part of the drasha, he continues this way. Ki'ita b'midrash, v'chi ma'ich batle la'kadosh baruch hu, b'in shochet v'ochel, v'nocher v'ochel. And as it is brought in the midrash, which is the Tanchuma, what does God care if you shochet, if you slice the animal's throat and eat it, killing it in a kosher way, or if you stab it, right, with a knife, killing it in a non-kosher way and eat it? That is, what difference does it make to God whether you slice the sword in this ritualistic way, in a particular kind of way, or kill it in another particular kind of way? What difference can that possibly actually make to the divine? Right? Why would God care about that? And then the Midrash continues, Halo natnu ha-mitzvot el tzaref behen et abriot. And then it continues, the mitzvot were only given to refine. This word refine, like what you do to metals, to refine creatures, to refine human beings. That is, the answer to the question is quite an interesting answer. The answer is, that's right, God doesn't care. It doesn't make any difference to God whether you kill an animal this way or that way. But somehow the mitzvah is given because somehow it's going to make a difference to us. The way we act in these particular ways are going to affect us, they're going to transform us in one way or another, they're going to refine us as human beings. Now, we're not going to get into now what the difference it makes between killing an animal this way or that way, and we could have lots of discussions about what that might mean today, and Iku Kashrut, etc. But just that basic idea that the mitzvot are there for human beings, for human beings to be transformed. And so the Pizetzner continues, Sheikar mitzvot hen lezachech v'laben v'legalot et ha-Yisrael amiti. The essence of the mitzvah is to purify and to blanch, to cleanse, to whiten, and to reveal the true Israelite. So this term, true Israelite, is a common term of the Pizetzner's, and it basically means our true self, our true nature, this nature of ours, which so often is hidden behind our fear or anger or confusion, whatever it is, that the mitzvot are there to help reveal who we truly are. And he says, I'll give you an example. Mashal, here's a parable. Labala gan, shalav lasot masim, elu begano, Right? The example is a gardener who had to do all these following actions in his garden. He's got to plow and plant and weed and water. And the purpose of all his actions was to bring forth a rose. He's trying to bring forth whatever it is the goal of his garden. And if he does everything, right, but he doesn't get a rose in the end, then actually he hasn't done anything. And this, so too, in the case of mitzvot, is the essence, to bring forth the true Israelite. Now this is a fascinating, powerful, and quite radical claim. The Pesetzner is saying is that the mitzvot are there to transform us, to make us into better people, to refine us, to cleanse us, to reveal who we truly are. And if we don't use the mitzvot in that way, if we don't use them to actually reveal who we truly are, then actually we've done nothing. Our spiritual practice, our religious practice, is irrelevant. Now, that's quite a strong statement, right? That if we're not doing it with this intention of transformation, actually in some way bringing forth that transformation, then actually our religious practice is meaningless. It's quite a powerful critique of what Heschel calls religious behaviorism, right? I just do it because I do it. I just do it because that's what my parents did. I just do it because whatever. It actually has to have this practice and goal of allowing us to become who we truly are. And then he continues and he says, in the upper worlds, there is tremendous holiness. And also the soul itself, the essence of its holiness and its splendor is revealed there. That is, in the upper worlds. But the thing is, you actually also have to reveal this kedusha, this holiness, also in this world, in a body made out of soil, right? Made out of earth, right? So there's this crucial act, which is, yes, there may be holiness above in some sense, but we have to bring this forth in our actually very physical beings. But then he adds something new and powerful. He says, okay, so that's true. There's holiness above, and we also need to bring holiness to the world. But actually, there's something more. Through this coming together of body and soul, there's actually revealed a kind of holiness which is even not found in the upper worlds. That is, our humanness, our individuality, our path of transformation, which every human being has to go through, the fact that we are filled with faults and that we are make mistakes and that we are flawed human beings, this actually allows a kind of revelation of holiness that would be impossible if not for that human state. There's actually a higher, a deeper, a broader kind of sanctity which emerges from that process of being human that otherwise would not be possible, that does not exist even in the heavens. Haneshama v'gam haguf nitavchu l'kedusha, the soul and the body are transformed into holiness. Kedusha achat nasemihem. There is one holiness made from them. Kol haguf kochotav, ritzonav, machshavotav, tzuchin litapech l'orv kedusha achat im haneshama. The entire body, its powers, its will, its thoughts, needs to be transformed to one light and one holiness with the soul. So our task in this world, according to Pesetzner, is to do the mitzvot, these spiritual practices which are embodied practices, right? He starts off talking about kashrut. We're talking about practices in this world, which actually produce a kind of transformation and holiness, which would otherwise be impossible. And that it transforms precisely our body and our soul, it transforms them together. And therefore it continues, Nimsa shikara mitzvot. So the essence of the mitzvah is to bring forth this Israelite, this true Israelite, a kind of unitary holiness, which at the beginning was two things. There was body and soul. There was some separation. And now they are one light. So the whole goal of the mitzvah is to bring unity from a place of separation. Min kedusha kazo she'ein dugmata gam ba'olamot elyonim. V'kedusha zo nikra ish Israel. A kind of holiness, of sanctity, that there is no like to it, even in the upper worlds. And this kind of sanctity is called the Israelite. L'chen ha'chanot la'mitzvah, eina ha'chanot la'asiyah b'vad, she'tiyana hen machshirot b'vad, rikaniot b'atzman. Therefore, when we prepare to do a mitzvah, when we bring our intention, or try to think about why we're doing the mitzvah, or try to do whatever's work necessary to have the mitzvah happen, you know, we clean the house to get it ready for Pesach, to do the mitzvah of Pesach, whatever it is we're doing to get ready for the mitzvah, they are not simply actions of preparations which themselves are empty. That is, their only purpose is not simply the purpose of preparation for that which is to come, as we might think about most preparation. The only purpose of the preparation is that which follows after it. Rak mamash asiyahen she'ish Yisrael asa devar la'ashem v'hu mizdachech v'chalik mechalik Yisrael yotzeh. Rather, they themselves are a kind of essential action that the Israelite does the word of God and is purified, is clarified, and a portion of the Israel within that person comes forth, right? Each moment of preparation, each moment of intention is itself a moment of healing, is itself a moment of transformation. V'shuv mechin, v'shuv ever, mechalek Yisrael yotzeh. And once again, he or she does some kind of preparatory action, gets ready to do the mitzvah, and once more in that moment of preparation itself, a portion, a limb of Israel comes forth. Ad shebala mitzvah, v'chol chalek hazeh sheYisrael mitgaleh, until he comes to the mitzvah, and this entire portion of Israel is revealed in the mitzvah. The mitzvah becomes fully revealed. So there's actually a whole process that leads up to the mitzvah. And if we dedicate ourselves up to that process, and not just to the final sort of ritual act itself, that is what gives the act itself and the process of transformative power. It is a graduated process. Each step helps reveal more of who we are. So we're planning to light the Shabbat candles. But of course, in preparation for that, we buy the candles, we put them in the candlestick holder, we get the matches ready, whatever all those pieces are. And our goal in every one of those actions is to have actually a kind of mindfulness, a kind of intention, a kind of presence, which already transforms that preparation itself into holiness. And then, of course, in a much broader sense, starts to transform every piece of our life into holiness. Because in some ways, everything we do is a preparation for a mitzvah. Every time we eat, every time we wash ourselves, every time we take care of ourselves or anybody else in any way, itself may be a mitzvah, and is always preparing us to do more mitzvot. V'zeh inyan shen otiyot Yisrael notarikon yesh yishim rabu anashim Yisrael. And this is the matter, that the letters which make up the word Israel are an acronym for, there are 600,000 people in Israel. Yesh shishim ribu otiyot l'Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, right? So if you break up the word Yisrael as an acronym, one way you can read it as standing for there are 600,000 people in Israel, which, and you can also read it as standing for, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Lo shemispar nashim Yisrael hem v'rak nirmazim b'mispar otiyot l'Torah. But it's not that this is the number of Israelites, this famous number of those who stood at Sinai, and they somehow are hinted at in the number of letters in the Torah. Ela she'anashim Yisrael hem ikar otiyot Torah. Rather, the people of Israel themselves are the essence of the letters of the Torah. Ki kol Torah b'mitzvot rak legalot et anashim Yisrael. Because the entire purpose of the Torah in Israel is to reveal our true nature, our true selves, our Israel. That is, we're not just hinted at or represented or a metaphor for the Torah. Who we are makes up the very essence of Torah. It's a very powerful claim because it tells us that the whole purpose of this Torah, of religion, of ritual, of spiritual practice, of everything we're doing, is actually to reveal our true nature, to reveal our true selves. And it encourages us to approach every step of Torah, every preparation in the act of Torah itself, whether it's a particular mitzvah, whether it's the study of Torah, whatever it is, as an attempt to reveal who we truly are, to expose who we truly are, to allow who we truly are to come to the surface. And it asks us to ask the question, how do I need to do this mitzvah? How do I need to do this study? How do I need to do this act, this prayer, in order to allow that to truly be the case? HaYisrael amiti hu ikara ot, raksha otiot shebichtav, v'asiyot ha-mitzvot hen ha-motzi'im. Actually, the true Israelite, this true nature, which is our true nature, is the very essence of the letter. It's just that the letters, as they're actually written, and the doing of the mitzvot, is what brings forth this essence, right? So these are tools to bring forth this essence, but the essence, the essential thing, is actually our very nature, our deep nature of who we are. Bechinat lo nitnu ha-mitzvot, el tzaref behenet et ha-briot. And this is the aspect of the mitzvot were only given to purify, to transform creatures, to transform people. Ubishvil zeh mispar otiot k'mispar Yisrael, mispar mitzvot k'mispar Yivrei v'Gidei Ish. And for this reason, the number of the letters, which is 600,000, right, is the same as the number of Israel, which is 600,000, which is the same as the number of the mitzvot, which is the number of the limbs and sinews of a person. That is, there's this parallel between Torah and ourselves and the mitzvot and the limbs and sinews of a person, which the claim here is that they're all the same number. They're all somehow this basically same number. Now, usually we actually talk about the mitzvot as 613 and the limbs and sinews as 613. But here there's some kind of combination which says, no, they're all somehow some basically similar number. They all hint at the same truth, which is that we each have a piece of Torah, and that each one of us represents an individual mitzvah, an individual letter. That is, we are unique, we have a unique piece to give, and as is told in earlier Kabbalistic texts, the Torah itself cannot be complete until each one of us has given our individual contribution, until each one of us has revealed our true nature, our true self, who we truly are to the world. Only when we've done that, when we've really revealed our nature, when we've really come into our own, come into ourselves, is this perfection, which is Torah, which is the Messianic period, which is redemption, can that fully be possible? So this is a beautiful teaching. It's a fascinating teaching about the nature of the body and the soul. It's a fascinating teaching about the nature of the Torah. It's a fascinating teaching about the nature of the mitzvot and what their task and role is, what the nature and the task and role of religion is, and how we need to therefore always be reflecting on and critiquing and thinking about religion from that perspective of, is it doing its work of clarifying us, of purifying us, of transforming us? But we might still be asking, what does this have to do with the original question? The original question is, why in this parsha all of a sudden does it talk about Abraham, giving birth to Isaac? What's the possible connection? When, of course, we already know that happened. We talked about that in previous parshiot. So then, at the very end of this parsha, the end of his drasha, the Pizetzner finishes thus. He says, "V'hine, v'im haya Yitzchak Avinu b'oto b'china kamo Avraham Chesed." So if Isaac, right, our ancestor, our father, was the same aspect of Abraham, which was Chesed, that is, classically, Abraham and Isaac represent two different spiritual qualities, two different Kabbalistic qualities. Abraham is Chesed, loving kindness. And Yitzchak is Gvura, which is boundedness, which is discipline, which is the ability to follow through. Two qualities in dialogue with each other, both necessary. And Jacob is classically the one which integrates those two qualities together. So it says, if Yitzchak was the same quality as Avraham Chesed, V'rak sho'ro shel Avraham hitpashet, and his being born was just a kind of spreading forth of the light of Abraham, Hayarak Avraham hamolid umayir, then just Avraham would be the one who was sort of giving forth, bringing forth, giving birth in a certain sense, being the progenitor, and illuminating. Aval kevan she Avraham haya bechinat chesed v'yitzchak gvura, ubilevush v'derach gvura yarchivat orosh shel Avraham, but because Avraham was the aspect of chesed, of loving kindness, and Yitzchak was the aspect of gvura, which we just talked about, this aspect of discipline, of judgment in a certain way, but sort of discerning wisdom. And that Yitzchak expanded the light of Abraham, but through the clothing, a gvura, through this other path, his own unique way, right? Each person having their own unique path and way in Torah. Im kein hu Yitzchak azar lasod derech u'makom chadash lipashut ha'rosh l'Avraham. If this is the case, then actually Yitzchak, what Isaac did, was that he created a new way, and actually a new space, a new field, by which the expansiveness of the light of Abraham could be brought forth. So Yitzchak, as each one of us, takes sort of this core material, and the claim here is that in discovering himself and bringing it forth in his own unique way, his own unique path, he actually found a new place, a new spaciousness for that light to be present, new places for that light to enter. So this is the meaning of the beginning of our parsha. This is the bringing forth, the generations, the story, the birth of Isaac, that Abraham begot Isaac, that he brought forth Isaac. Avraham walid et Yitzchak. Ma she'Avraham walid et Yitzchak gam pula Yitzchak hayta. Why is it repeated here, this idea of Avraham begotting, bringing forth Isaac? It's brought here again to stress the fact that actually what Isaac's doing, this birth of Abraham of Isaac, this giving forth to Isaac, this being the progenitor of Isaac, this bringing forth, is not just Avraham's action. It doesn't all depend on what happened before us, but it was Isaac's action as well. That is, Isaac too, Yitzchak, just like each one of us, has to find his particular place, his own place of Torah, has to bring forth that unique holiness, which is the merging of body and soul, a holiness that is not found even in the upper realm. There is a profound individuality here, the task of each person, of each of the avot, to do our own work, continue the light of what that was brought before us, but also create that light anew, and to bring that light into new places. So this is the story of Avraham and Yitzchak, of Abraham and Isaac, in Toldot for the Bizetzer. It's a story of recognizing that each of us has a unique capacity, our own particular soul, our own particular body, our own particular letter in Torah, our own particular nature, which is shared in its loving, open capacity, but which is also special to us, which needs to be brought forth. And that our task that we can learn from the words of our parsha, Avraham Hulid et Yitzchak, that Avraham gives birth to Yitzchak, is that this birthing actually is an ongoing process. That Isaac also needs to birth that which is new and profound and true in himself and in that moment, and that the task of each of us is not something to follow what was before, but to ask ourselves again, what is my truth? Who am I, actually? Who am I? And what is it that I uniquely have to offer to the world?
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.